Five Scenes from the Greatest Law Firm That Never Was, an Ace Attorney fanfic written by Cyberwolf and read by Full Days Drive. Summary. Based on the Five Things That Never Happened to character trope. Five scenes from a universe where Mia Faye survived Red White's attack. Written for the Phoenix Wright kink meme. Contains spoilers for Dual Destinies. 1. Turnabout Sisters. Most days, Mia was just happy she was alive. Most days, she knew she could make it work. Just a few changes here and there, and she could continue on her life as normal. Write everything down to help her remember. Bring a cheat sheet to court. Ask to sit down if she got too weak. She had all her medical records, and the judge was usually sympathetic. Phoenix was getting better and better every day. He made not only an excellent co-counsel, but was more than capable of handling complex cases on his own. Go to physio. Smile for Maya. Everything would be all right. And some days, she wanted to shove her computer off her desk, rip down every yellow post-it festooning the office, and throw her crutch through a window. She'd always been bad with names and faces, but it was ridiculous now. Even with the case file in front of her, Phoenix or Maya had to prompt her for a client's name. How did that look? Phoenix's star was on the rise. A glittering legal career was within his grasp now, her own cut short by a dodgy memory and damaged nerves. On her worst days, she hated him. On her worst days, she caught the anxious glances he exchanged with Maya, the one she wasn't supposed to see. On her worst days, she knew that this was as good as it would ever get. Chief? Chief! Phoenix came running, alerted by the sound of poor Charlie toppling over as she lurched into him, weak leg giving up. It was only a few steps. She should have been able to manage without the crutch. Just a few steps to get some paperwork from Phoenix's desk, and she couldn't make it. Chief! He moved Charlie off her, standing him back upright, and took her arm. Mia ripped it out of his grasp. Don't help me! She glared at him as he shuffled back, stunned by her outburst. Don't help me. Phoenix wet his lips nervously. Okay. Mia turned away from him, her eyes growing hot. She maneuvered herself into a sitting position under the window and drew her legs up to her chest. This was all her own fault. Poor Diego was still lying in a hospital bed because he'd gone chasing psychopaths on his own, and instead of learning from his mistake, she'd done exactly the same thing. If she'd trusted Phoenix and let him in on her investigation, Red White wouldn't have caught her unawares. Mia buried her face in her hands and began to cry. Chief. Phoenix was at her side, and she didn't flinch when he put his arms around her. Come on, Chief, he pleaded quietly. A lawyer has to smile no matter how bad things get, remember?
Maybe.
Mia shook her head.
Maybe it's all over.
He pulled her head against his chest, and she clung to him. I won't let you give up, Mia, Phoenix murmured, even if I have to smile for both of us. 2. Madam Attorney, Mr. Prosecutor.
Hey, sis!
Mia looked up from her case file, as Maya stuck her head around her office door.
Nick, Pearlie, and I are going on that burger run now.
Mia blinked a couple of times.
Okay.
Maya didn't move, and Mia added, See you later?
You said you'd pay,
Maya explained, her expression sobering. Don't you remember? Mia frowned. She didn't remember, but then that wasn't unusual.
Oh, okay.
She leaned down for her purse.
Just let me get my...
She caught Maya's sly look just in time. Very funny.
Sorry, sis,
Maya giggled.
I couldn't resist.
Mia shook her head and sat up again. Taking advantage of the boss's handicap, she taunted in mock disapproval. She raised her voice.
I feel like someone's wages should be docked.
I had nothing to do with it, Phoenix called from the lobby.
Oh, come on, sis, Maya wheedled. I'll bring you back your favorite.
Mia picked up her pen and pretended she wasn't listening. Three tower burgers? Extra cheese? No pickles? Mia didn't look up.
onion rings, diet soda?
Mia relented and picked up her purse.
Oh, all right, she replied, but only because I'm hungry.
She handed over the money and smiled as Maya skipped out the door. She worked on in peaceful silence, carefully arranging her notes, fine-tuning her arguments. After about 10 minutes, she heard the door open and footsteps in the lobby.
Back already? Mia called out teasingly.
She wondered who had left something behind.
I thought I was the forgetful one.
She trailed off as she looked up and saw a familiar figure standing in her doorway.
Diego.
He nodded once.
Mia.
Mia stared at him, at a loss for words. It had been over a year since he'd pushed her away, and since then she'd only caught glimpses of him around the courthouse. Phoenix, on the other hand, had been seeing a lot of him, and the encounters weren't exactly positive. Diego didn't move from the doorway, or make any attempt to sit down, so she picked up her cane and stood.
"You're speaking to me," she remarked.
He didn't reply. The silence stretched, and Mia racked her brain for something nice and neutral to say, just to break it.
"You look well," she murmured,
and regretted it immediately. He barely looked like Diego anymore, not with the big metal visor dominating his face, the shock of pure white hair, and the shit-eating grin she'd loved so much completely absent. The corner of his mouth twitched slightly, and Mia wondered if he'd had the same thought as her.
"Morgan Fay's planning to kill Maya," he said suddenly.
Mia stared at him, stunned. He stepped forward before she could ask a question, pulling an envelope from his pocket.
"She hatched a plot with her demon daughter in prison," Diego explained. "They're planning to use Pearl as the murder weapon."
He handed Mia the envelope.
"It's all in there. Luckily I got to it before Pearl did."
Mia opened the envelope and unfolded the letter inside. Her eyes widened in horror as she read through it. Morgan was instructing Pearl to channel Dahlia Hawthorne, and there was no doubt in Mia's mind what Hawthorne would do when she was back among the living. Mia set the letter on her desk before it fell from her shaking fingers.
"Thought you should know," Diego said shortly.
Thank you, Mia replied. She took a deep breath and let it out, trying to get her heart to stop racing. They would have to talk to Pearl. She was devoted to her mother, and Mia had always hoped that they could let Pearl keep that relationship, at least for now. It was going to be a difficult conversation. Diego turned to leave.
"Wait."
He looked at her over his shoulder.
"Would you like to go get a cup of coffee?"
Mia asked with a shrug.
"For old time's sake?"
Diego smirked at her, his expression twisted and bitter.
"Never mix business with pleasure, kitten," he answered. "Or with pity. That's one of my rules."
There were a dozen things Mia could have said. Things that were reassuring, understanding, and apologetic. But after a year of giving him space, making excuses for him, and seeing Phoenix coming back from court with coffee all over him case after case, it was the last straw.
"Diego, when are you going to grow up?"
He stared at her like she'd slapped him.
"Look, I'm so sorry that my feelings for you changed," Mia continued angrily. "But if you want to be mad at someone, be mad at me. Face me in court. Stop taking it out on Phoenix. He hasn't done anything to you."
Diego scowled at her. "He hid that necklace," he bit out. "He was Hawthorne's accomplice, Mia, and you defended him and hired him like..."
"Like what?" Mia snapped. "Like I didn't care about you?"
He looked away, clenching his jaw, and it was enough to tell her that he was still hurting. Mia took a deep breath and let it out.
"I always cared about you, Diego," she said gently. "I still care about you. Becoming a prosecutor, the stupid grudge against Phoenix, none of it's you, and I don't think it's making you happy."
She moved closer to him, and tentatively laid a hand on his arm.
"Let me help you, Diego. Please."
Diego looked back at her.
"The man you knew was dead, kitten," he snapped.
His lip curled into a sneer. "But don't worry. I'm sure you'll get over it." He pulled his arm out of her grasp and stalked out of her office, toward the main door. Angrily, Mia hobbled after him.
You'll never beat Phoenix in court, do you know? She called out.
Diego paused, his hand on the doorknob.
Not because he's a better lawyer than you, Mia continued, but because deep down inside you still care about the truth. You can't bring yourself to send someone to prison if there's even the slightest chance she's innocent.
Diego glared at her. Don't waste the court's time with conjecture, Madam Attorney, he remarked.
Come see me when you're tired of hiding, Mr. Prosecutor, Mia countered. There'll be a place for you right here. Until then, get the hell out of my office and leave my protege alone.
Diego held her gaze for a few moments, then stepped outside and slammed the door behind him. 3. That incident 7 years ago. Phoenix turned sharply from the stove as someone banged on his front door. He strove for calm as he ran through the possibilities. His landlady, the police, Child Protective Services, an angry poker player. Gavin.
Phoenix? Phoenix.
Phoenix closed his eyes briefly. Mia. The relief he felt was short-lived. He'd had a feeling this was going to happen sooner or later, but he'd really hoped for later. Much later, when he had some answers.
Phoenix Wright.
Mia banged on the door again. Somehow, the fact that she sounded calm made Phoenix even more uneasy.
Phoenix, if you don't open this door, I'm going to really make a scene.
Trucy glanced to the door, then back at him, her expression filled with fear.
Daddy?
It's all right, Truce, Phoenix reassured her, moving the noodles off the heat. He picked her up and gave her a cuddle. Just go to your room, okay? This'll only take a few minutes. Trucy didn't look so sure about that, but she ran to her room anyway. Phoenix took a deep breath and walked into the tiny hallway. He unhooked the chain and slid back the deadbolt, and opened the door. Mia stood there, leaning heavily on her cane, and Phoenix knew he should invite her in, just to let her sit down. Instead, he moved to block the doorway, ignoring the little pangs of guilt. Phoenix? Mia looked him up and down, quirking an eyebrow at his hoodie, sweats, and sandals. Phoenix nodded. Mia?
You told me you were going to Corrine for a few weeks to get your head together, Mia said, matter-of-factly.
A faint smile appeared on her face, but there was absolutely no warmth behind it.
Did you think I'd forget to call Maya and see if you'd arrived?
Phoenix swallowed nervously, and carted a hand through his messy spikes.
Did you think Maya would lie to me when I did call?
No, but I'd kinda hoped. Phoenix shifted his weight and tried to maintain his composure.
Did you think I wouldn't look for you at your old place?
Mia continued.
Did you think I wouldn't ask your landlord if you'd left a forwarding address? Nice trick with the P.O. box, by the way. Her smile had disappeared, and a stern frown had taken its place. Avoiding me is one thing, Phoenix. Treating me like an idiot is another.
Phoenix took a deep breath and let it out slow. He didn't blame Mia for being mad at him, but he couldn't risk Gavin targeting the people he cared about, especially her. Not when he could see part of the scar Red White had left on her temple. 3.5 years later, and sometimes he still had nightmares about it. Chief, I gave you my resignation, he said shortly. I don't owe you any explanations anymore. He stepped back and moved to close the door. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to finish making lunch for my daughter. Mia jammed her cane between the door and the frame. You're not getting rid of me that easily, Phoenix, she declared, a note of steel in her voice. The words poured out of him in a rush. Chief, I've asked you to leave, so as of now you're trespassing, and I have the right to call the police and have you removed. She stared at him in surprise and hurt, but she took her cane out of the doorway. Phoenix shut the door on her and locked it back up, before he could think about it any further. He moved back into the kitchen and tried to compose himself before he called Trucy out of her room. He heard the mail slot squeak open.
Fine, Mia called. I guess I'll have to investigate Christoph Gavin by myself then.
A cold chill ran down Phoenix's spine at her words. He tried to shake it off. She was just bluffing.
You know, the only other lawyer who spoke in your defense when you were disbarred? The one who was supposed to defend your client until a few days before the trial? And whose little brother just happened to be the prosecutor?
Phoenix swallowed, struggling to stay calm. Mia was just trying to get him to talk to her. She wouldn't actually.
Here I go, teetering on my gimpy leg, with my easily losable notebook with all the important details jotted down, because of my memory.
Phoenix sighed and walked to the front door. He opened it and stepped back to let Mia hobble inside. He followed her as she made her way to the kitchen table and carefully sat down.
"Damn it, Chief," Phoenix murmured wearily.
He joined her at the table. "If you've been looking into my last case, especially if you've been checking up on Christoph, you ought to know why I didn't want anyone else involved."
"And you ought to know that I can't let you do this on your own," Mia countered.
She gestured at herself.
"Here's what happens to attorneys who take on bad guys with no backup. And I got lucky. Think about Gregory Edgeworth. Think about Prosecutor Armando."
Phoenix looked away, fidgeting guiltily. Trucy didn't need to lose another daddy. Or to spend 5 years sitting by a hospital bed, hoping he'd wake up. Mia reached out and covered his hand with her own.
"Phoenix, if I have to be a silent partner in your investigation, so be it," she murmured. "But we're in this together."
Phoenix mustered a smile. "There's no way to talk you out of this, is there?"
"Not a chance," Mia answered, smiling back.
Phoenix stood up. "Then I guess you'd better stay for lunch." He walked to the edge of the kitchen and living area and called down the hallway. "Trucy, you can come out now. I want you to meet a friend of mine."
4. Turnabout Corner. Apollo Justice gazed at the door in front of him. Fay & Co. Law Offices was emblazoned on it in cheap gold lettering. Beneath that was a handwritten sign, stuck to the door with scotch tape, which read, "Wright Talent Agency." It had been over 2 months since Mr. Gavin was found guilty of murder. 2 months since Apollo had punched the legendary Phoenix Wright in the face and received a business card in return. 2 months of Clay paying all the rent on their apartment instead of moving into the Space Center. 2 months of fruitless interviews at every other law firm in the city that was hiring. And then he'd got the phone call. He'd never met Mia Fey. He'd never paid much attention to her cases on Court TV. Phoenix Wright was the star, the one he'd always looked up to, until he turned out to be a jerk. She had the makings of a legend, Mr. Gavin had told him once, before her unfortunate accident. Sadly, her repertoire now consists solely of flashing her cleavage to distract the prosecution. It was a description he couldn't shake, even though Mr. Gavin had been exposed as a liar and a murderer. But she was hiring, had taken the time to call him personally, and Clay couldn't keep carrying him. Apollo took a deep breath and let it out. "I'm Apollo Justice, and I'm fine." He opened the door and stepped inside. He blinked in surprise. The right side of the small office area was taken up with magician's props. At the end of the room there were 2 doors, one closed, one open, to reveal a tiny kitchen area. To his left was a vacant desk with another handwritten sign stuck to it. Apollo walked over and examined it. "Ring bell for assistance." Apollo looked at the desk. Phone, laptop. His shoulders slumped as he spotted a handbell next to a diary. Feeling extremely silly, he picked it up and rang it. For a few minutes, nothing happened. Apollo was considering whether to ring it again, call out, or just leave when the door behind the desk opened. A tall, white-haired man in a silver mask stepped out, a mug in one hand. He looked Apollo up and down and took a sip of his drink. "Ice cream parlor's down the street."
"Oh, what?" Apollo asked.
"No, I'm here for an interview."
The man tilted his head to the side and, well, it was difficult to tell with the mask covering his face from his nose to his hairline, but Apollo was pretty sure he was frowning. "I got a phone call this morning. I'm here to see Mia Fey."
"Uh-huh."
The man set his mug down and sat on the desk. He licked his thumb and leafed through the diary.
"Name?"
"Apollo Justice," Apollo answered. The man hummed low in his throat.
"Ah, here you are."
He picked up the phone and shot Apollo another maybe frown as he dialed.
"You're late."
Apollo shifted from foot to foot.
"Actually, I was here on time.
I just dithered about coming inside because I'm worried about working for a bimbo and her asshole protege. And I'm pretty sure I don't have a choice anyway. Mia, there's a little lost kitten out here to see you, the man said. Well, it says here you're expecting him. Okay, I'll send him in. He hung up the phone and shot Apollo an unsettling smirk. Go on through to the back, Mr. Justice. Apollo walked apprehensively to the closed door at the end of the room. He glanced back and saw the masked man still smirking after him. Apollo gulped and knocked on the door.
Come in!
Mia Fey, almost legend, one-trick pony, mentor to Phoenix Wright, didn't even look up as he stepped inside. She was engrossed in a sheaf of papers, flicking through them with a frown. Apollo coughed, and Ms. Fey looked up. Her frown disappeared, and she gave him a warm smile.
Ah, hello!
She put the papers aside. Oh boy, there was the cleavage! And extended a hand. Apollo shook it and did his best not to stare.
Please, sit down.
Apollo did so. He waited while Fey continued to go through her papers. My associate tells me you have an appointment, Fey remarked, her eyes on her notes. Apollo could see part of a scar on her temple, the rest of it hidden by her hair. She gave him a wry smile. I'm afraid it slipped my mind. When you get hit over the head, you don't remember things the way you used to. She finished with the papers and straightened up. Now, you were Phoenix's attorney a couple of months ago.
That's right, Apollo replied.
Boy, those things are practically in my face. He wondered if Mr. Gavin had been right about her after all, and she was trying to distract him. Fey held up a hand.
Don't tell me.
She closed her eyes for a few moments.
I want to say Sputnik.
Apollo slumped, his spikes drooping over his forehead. It's Apollo. Apollo Justice.
Yes, of course, Fey replied, slapping herself lightly on the forehead.
She picked up a pen and a pad of post-its and began to write.
Apollo Justice.
Apollo started as she slapped the post-it to his chest.
Don't worry, I'll remember eventually. Now.
She bent over her notes again, and Apollo began to wonder if coming here was such a good idea. What was the most important thing you learned from your mentor?
Evidence is everything, Apollo replied.
Fey looked at him for a few moments, then wrote something on the paper in front of her.
We're short-staffed at the moment, she continued. How would you feel about having an assistant who isn't strictly speaking a lawyer?
Apollo nervously ran a hand through his hair.
Fine. I mean, I've never had an assistant, so who am I to complain?
That's the spirit, Fey murmured, writing again. She looked up at him.
Last question. Do you know how to make coffee?
Apollo felt a slight pang of disappointment. He was used to playing barista for Mr. Gavin, but when Ms. Fey had mentioned giving him an assistant, he'd hoped that meant that someone would be serving him coffee for a change.
Yes, he answered.
Ground or instant?
Ground, Apollo clarified.
Mr. Gavin hated instant coffee.
Excellent.
Fay scribbled something down and punctuated it with a flourish. She looked up at him and held out her hand.
You're hired.
Apollo stared at her in surprise as he shook her hand.
Really? That's it?
You don't want references or...
Well, your previous employer's in prison, Fay replied,
a teasing note in her voice.
So I doubt he'd give you a glowing recommendation. Besides,
she picked up an elegant wooden cane and pushed herself onto her feet.
Phoenix vouched for you.
He did? Apollo asked, rising with her. Fey nodded.
He was impressed by your performance in court, Mr.
She leaned forward to look at his post-it, and Apollo did his best not to look down her top.
Justice?
And I've always trusted his judgment. She straightened back up.
Come on, let's get you started.
Fey limped around the desk and opened her office door. Apollo followed her. She stopped and looked at him with a slight frown.
You did say you could make coffee?
Yes, Apollo answered. Take a cup to your new colleague, Mr. Armando, Fey replied. She gestured to the kitchen area.
Hot, black, strong.
No sugar,
And don't worry. She patted him reassuringly on the arm. He doesn't like anyone. 10 minutes later, Apollo knocked apprehensively on the door behind the reception desk, a steaming mug of hot black coffee in one hand. "Mr. Armando?"
"Come on in, kitten," the older attorney called.
He glanced up from his computer and smirked as Apollo walked in.
"So, you got the job, huh?"
Apollo nodded. "Miss Fay told me to bring you this." He handed Armando the mug and waited nervously while the man sipped the contents.
"Not bad," Armando remarked. "Brew it for a minute longer next time."
He set the mug aside. "Now, I'm tired of playing secretary, so your first assignment is to go to the hospital and find the little chickie who usually mans the reception desk." He handed Apollo a thermos. "While you're there, give this to her daddy and tell him to stop malingering."
Okay, Apollo replied.
"How will I know?" "She's 15, about yay high," Armando said, gesturing with his hand. "Brown hair, big blue eyes."
Apollo slumped. "That's it?"
"That could be anyone. I don't even get a picture?"
"That's it," Armando replied with a smirk. "Don't worry, you can't miss her. She'll be the only one dressed as a magician."
Apollo stared at him for a few moments. Armando stared back.
"Well, what are you waiting for?" he asked, shooing Apollo towards the door.
"Scat, kitten! Coffee's no good when it's cold."
Right.
Apollo turned and headed out. He closed the door to the law firm and leaned against it with a sigh. His first day on the job was turning into a series of fetch quests. His phone buzzed, and he pulled it out of his pocket. A text from Clay.
"Did you get the job?"
Apollo smiled in spite of himself. At least he had a paycheck again, and that meant Clay could move into the Space Center when their lease was up. Both their careers were back on track. He texted back.
"Yeah.
Smiley face. Tell you about it at dinner."
5. Dual Destinies. Athena carefully smoothed down the elegant tablecloth Mr. Edgeworth had lent them, and stepped back to let Apollo set down yet another platter of hamburgers.
"Maya, we're never going to finish all this," Mr. Wright protested, gazing at the sheer volume of hamburgers, hot dogs, and salad laid out on the motley collection of tables in front of them.
"Course we are, Nick," Master Maya replied cheerfully.
She waved her hand at the small group of friends mingling with each other in the garden.
"You've got all these people, plus three of us are fays."
"And don't forget me," Athena chimed in.
She flashed Mr. Wright a peace sign.
"I'm a pretty big eater too, boss."
"See, Nick,"
Maya replied.
"There won't be a crumb left."
The chief came up and leaned in between Maya and Mr. Wright, glancing over the spread.
"Funny, I was just about to ask who was on a diet."
Maya blew out her cheeks, and Athena tried not to laugh at the childish expression.
"Geez, she ate one steak the size of a boogie board, and now she thinks she's the mayor of Cowtown."
Athena's jaw dropped.
Really?
"This guy I was dating took me to a steakhouse, and then ordered me a salad before I even sat down," the chief explained with a smile. She jerked her head at Mr. Armando, manning the grill a few feet away, and winked at Athena. He had to be put in his place. If Mr. Armando had heard the exchange, he didn't show it.
"Hey, kitten."
He waved Athena over and handed her the last platter of hot dogs.
"Don't forget."
He lowered his voice and shot her a conspiratorial smirk.
"You and Justice sit next to Trite."
Athena grinned back and took the hot dogs over to the tables. She just had time to set them down before Apollo bellowed,
"Come and get it!"
The small crowd ambled over, escorted by Pearl, who was keen to show everyone to their seats. Athena sat next to Mr. Wright, just as she, Apollo, and Mr. Armando had planned the day before. Apollo gave her a brief nod, a faint conspiratorial smile on his face.
"Miss Juniper, why don't you sit next to Mr. Apollo?"
Pearl asked shyly, pulling a chair out for Junie. Athena couldn't help smiling as Junie blushed, and Apollo nervously rubbed the back of his neck.
"Pearly,"
Maya warned, only half sternly. "No." "I'll let the little kitty have her fun," Mr. Armando remarked, tussling Pearl's hair as he passed by. "Without matchmakers, we'd all be in the dark." Pearl skipped ahead of him to the other side of the table.
And Mr. Diego, you'll sit next to Mystic Mia, won't you?
Mr. Armando spat a mouthful of coffee all over the lawn, and Athena winced at the sudden discord in his heart.
That's all right, kitten, he managed. I can find my own seat.
He moved up the tables a few places, mumbling,
To a blind man, light is overrated.
Simon slid into the chair on Athena's other side, Taka perched on his shoulder. Athena smiled at him, and got a small smile in return. She was really glad he'd come. It wouldn't be easy, adjusting back to a normal life after prison, and she'd been worried that he would shut himself away, just because it was what he was used to. Further down the tables were Mr. Edgeworth and Mr. Gavin, with Hugh and Robin at the other end. The chief made her way carefully to the seat opposite Mr. Wright, while Trucy sat facing Apollo.
Hey, Athena.
Maya plopped into the chair opposite Athena and shot her a grin.
You, me, burger to burger. How about it?
Athena grinned back.
You're on.
Still standing, the chief rapped on the table with her knuckles. The murmur of the assembled guests died away, and a respectful silence fell.
Don't worry, this won't take long, the chief promised, because the food's getting cold.
She paused and reached into her top for some cue cards, provoking a wolf whistle from someone. She smirked and continued her speech.
On behalf of my staff, I would like to thank you all for coming and celebrating our move to our new premises.
She gestured to Junie.
I'd especially like to thank Ms. Juniper Woods for all her work on the garden. It was a real jungle before she got her hands on it.
Blushing, Junie stood up to a round of applause led by Robin and Hugh. She ducked her head shyly in appreciation, and then sat back down.
Now, some of you...
The chief paused to let everyone quiet down.
Some of you may have noticed that the plaque on the door outside says, Fay Wright and Company Law Offices. That's because, as of today...
She gestured to Mr. Wright. Phoenix is a full partner in the firm. There was another, louder round of applause, and the chief waited until it had died away before she continued.
It's been my pleasure and privilege to work with Phoenix for the past 10 years, she declared. Both as an attorney and as a...
She looked down at the cue card.
Pretending to play the piano player.
She frowned a little at the wording, then shrugged.
In any case, the firm would not be where it is today without him, and this promotion is long overdue.
As another round of applause broke out, she gestured to Mr. Wright.
Phoenix, would you like to say a few words?
Mr. Wright pushed back his chair and stood up. He ran a hand through his hair, a nervous grin on his face.
Wow.
He looked around at the group, a faint blush appearing on his face. Athena couldn't help smiling at him. His heart was singing with a kind of happiness so powerful it made you want to cry.
You know, Mia said the firm wouldn't be where it is without me, but the truth is, if it wasn't for Mia...
He gazed at her warmly, and she smiled back.
I wouldn't be where I am today. I'm so lucky she believed in a wimpy art student who was on the hook for murder, and so lucky when she took a chance on that art student when he came to her fresh out of his bar exam, looking for a job.
He ducked his head, and Athena felt a slight pang when he discreetly wiped his eyes.
What more can I say? Except, here's to another 10 years of truth, justice, and ruining the prosecution's winning streak.
There was another round of applause, accompanied by a groan from the three prosecutors, and Athena tensed, waiting for her cue.
You know, the chief declared, this is a celebration, and I think it calls for champagne.
Athena reached under the table for the bottle of champagne Mr. Armando had stashed there earlier. She and Apollo rose as one, shaking their bottles as they did so. Mr. Wright realized what was coming a fraction too late.
Whoa!
Apollo and Athena popped the corks and proceeded to spray their new boss with champagne. Mr. Wright tried in vain to bat the jets away with his hands, but eventually gave up and accepted his fate. Their guests cheered and clapped as he wiped the sticky alcohol away from his eyes.
Let me guess whose idea it was to drench me with a beverage, he grumbled.
Athena gave him a sheepish smile and offered him her bottle. Mr. Wright accepted it and had a swig. The chief leaned forward and pecked him on the cheek.
Enough speeching already, Maya declared. Can we eat now?
Yes, we can eat now, Mia agreed.
Dig in, everybody.
Athena tried valiantly to keep up with Maya,
but had to call it quits after only 4 burgers. She sat back in her seat, eyes closed, and rubbed her aching stomach while the rest of the party got up, changed seats, and mingled around her. At last, she began to feel a little less like a human beach ball. She opened her eyes just as Apollo slid into the chair next to her.
"You okay?"
he asked. Athena nodded and risked sitting up a little straighter.
"Well, I'm not going to explode," she answered with a smile.
She glanced around. She and Apollo were the only ones sitting at the tables. The rest of the party were dotted around the garden. Robin was teasing Hugh. Mr. Gavin was strumming his guitar while Junie, Trucy, and Pearl listened. Mr. Edgeworth was taking a nap under a tree. Simon and Maya were deep in conversation about something, while Taka pecked at a hot dog nearby. Athena made a note to bug Simon for the details later. It was good to see him making new friends. She looked at Apollo, and knew that he hadn't come over to the emptiest part of the garden just to check on her.
"You wish Clay was here, don't you?"
Apollo took a deep breath and let it out, nodding.
"Yeah."
He gazed at the table, picking idly at a ketchup stain on the tablecloth.
"You know, the chief says... sometimes spirits stick around," Athena murmured, "watching over the people they were close to."
Apollo looked up at Athena with a weak grin.
"Well, I really hope that asshole hasn't spent the last 6 months hanging around spying on me. His mom will be miss..."
Apollo broke off and turned away, choking back a huge sob. Athena reached out and rubbed his back.
"I'm sorry," she said. "I didn't mean to upset you."
I'm fine," Apollo managed.
He took a couple of deep breaths, then looked at her.
"Really, I'm fine."
Athena knew he was telling the truth. She could hear it in his heart. A peaceful, beautiful sadness. A hurt, but one that was slowly healing.
"I wish I could have met him," she murmured.
"Me too," Apollo replied.
Athena smiled at him, and was abruptly showered with beer. Apollo spluttered as the spray hit him, too. Athena turned in her seat, wringing out her hair. Mr. Wright was grinning behind them, his cheeks slightly flushed, holding an almost empty bottle of beer in one hand.
"Now we're even," he declared, his words slightly slurred.
"Mr. Wright," Athena whined.
She gestured to Apollo.
"We were having a moment."
Mr. Wright chuckled and began to walk away. Apollo glowered at their boss, then grabbed a nearby bottle of ketchup and launched himself out of his seat. With a grin, Athena grabbed the mustard and followed him. Mia gave the ensuing condiment fight a wide berth as she made her way to where Diego was sitting on the fire escape. She settled on the steps behind him, placing her cane within easy reach.
"Hey."
He glanced at her, but didn't reply. Mia tried not to let his silence bother her. At least he hadn't flinched away when she sat down. He'd been more withdrawn for a while now. Mia couldn't be sure when she'd first noticed, but it was definitely a matter of months rather than weeks. And then he'd practically fled from her earlier. Someone had said something, she couldn't quite remember who or what, and he'd been keeping his distance all evening. She didn't like it. She'd really hoped they were reaching a new equilibrium, as friends, instead of awkward exes. Beside her, Diego had a mouthful of beer. Mia nudged him gently.
"Should you be drinking on your medication?"
Diego smirked and nodded at her own bottle.
"Should you?"
Mia chuckled. "Touché." She sipped her drink and gazed out over the small garden. It wasn't quite sunset, but the sky had started to change. There was a golden tint to the blue.
"What would you say?"
Diego didn't look at her as he spoke, focusing his gaze on his beer bottle.
"If I told you I was leaving?"
"Well, that explained why you'd been so quiet all day." Mia considered her answer.
"Truthfully?" she asked.
He inclined his head in a brief nod.
"I'd say, is this because I made Phoenix partner and not you?"
Diego glared at her, offended. A moment later, his shoulders sagged, and he looked away.
"Hell, kitten, I can't hold that against you," he said. "Trite's paid his dues. He brought in Justice and Sykes. You said it yourself. The firm wouldn't be where it is without him."
Mia gazed at him for a few moments.
"Diego, I would never have gone back into a courtroom if it wasn't for you," she said quietly. He didn't look at her. You wouldn't let me blame myself, and you wouldn't let me quit and go home. And when that demon poisoned you, I knew I had to make her pay. Phoenix played a big part in bringing all this together, sure. But there wouldn't even be a firm without you. Diego did look at her then. His mouth twitched upwards briefly in a sad smile. I just always thought it would be you and me, he murmured. And I know I have to let it go. But when you only drink coffee out of one mug, sometimes it takes more than elbow grease to get rid of the stain. His voice cracked and he looked away. Mia gazed out over the garden to give him some privacy while he regained his composure. I'm sorry things didn't stay the same between us, she said after a few minutes. You deserve to pick up your life where you left off. No, I'm sorry, Diego replied. Mia looked up at him. He was engrossed in picking the label off his beer bottle. I was so angry with you, Mia. Kept telling myself I would have waited. I would never have fallen out of love with you. Mia flinched, but tamped down her impulse to argue with him. Diego flicked a few shreds of paper across the garden. But the truth is, I don't know that, he admitted. He did look at her then, a faint smile on his face. I can't blame you for living your life. And I can't keep waiting for something that's never going to happen. Mia nodded and smiled back at him. Please don't poach any of my talent. Diego shrugged. Maybe I'll quit trial law. Mia looked at him in surprise. What will you do instead? Themis Academy have a position free, Diego replied with a smirk. If they won't have me, I could open a coffee shop. Maybe I'll take the saxophone back up. See if Trite's little hatchling can get me a regular gig. He sobered, scratching at the remnants of the label. But whatever I do, I can't stay here. Mia's heart sank. She felt for his hand and laced her fingers through his. If that's what you need to be happy, then go for it, she murmured. She squeezed his hand. You're one of my best friends, Diego. You'll always be special to me. He smiled at her and pressed a kiss against her hand. Mia drew his hand onto her lap and traced the scars on his palm. 15 years. Where did the time go? Phoenix, Apollo, and Athena rolled by in a flurry of condiments and beer. We should probably break that up, Mia remarked. Diego smirked. Let them roll on top of Miles Edgeworth first. You're not nice, Mia replied in mock disapproval. Diego's smirk broadened, and he bumped her gently with his shoulder. Together they watched as the trio inched closer to the sleeping chief prosecutor, the first rays of sunset painting the sky overhead. The End.